We're starting, with the regular schedule now after Yontif. So we're going to learn brachos. The Mishnah starts with the topic of Kriyat Shema. Kriyat Shema, specifically what we're about to do, Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. So the Mishnah says, Me'emasai Korin Shema Be'arvin. What's the starting point for Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis? Again, as the Gemara goes on to explain, you know, like the Mishnah just assumes that you know the pasuk. That Kriyat Shema is during Zman Shchiva, but the Mishnah uses the term at night, even though those aren't really exactly the same thing. Or you could have time which isn't really night, but people are still sleeping. That's already Gemara later on in the Perek on Daf Ches and Daf Tes. So Mishasha Kohanim Nichnasim Lechol B'Trumasan. So that is a very mysterious time. The Gemara says, what exactly does this mean? So we eventually determine that means Seisa Kochavim, when the stars come out. So that's considered the earliest time. Ad Sof HaShemua Rishona Divir Rabbi Eliezer, until the end of the first third of the night. That's the view of Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim Omer Bad Chatzos, and the rabbis say until the midpoint of the night. Ringam Liel Omer Ad Shiyala Amud HaShachar, until the break of dawn. Maiso Ba'u Banav Mi Beis HaMishta, so Ringam Liel's children came from a party, they were partying. So Amr Lo Lo Karinu Et Shema. So maybe they shouldn't have gone to the party, but you know, at least they were honest enough to say that they missed Shema. So they came to their father and they really wanted to know, like, are you a minority view, essentially, that you allow us to say it all the way to the morning, or do the rabbis really agree? So Amr Lahem, Imlo Allah Amud HaShachar, Chayavim Natem Likros, right? You still have an obligation to say Kriyat Shema. It's not just may you, but you must. Velozo Bilvad Amru El Kol Ma Shamru Chachamim Ad Chatzos. Anytime the rabbis used Chatzos, that was really not what the Torah prescribed. Let's say it comes to Kachim, it comes to Korbanos. So the Torah says by the Korban Toda, by the Korban Chatas, by the Korban Asham, and other Korbanos as well, the Kibtei Atzeres, that you have one day and one night. And the rabbi said until Chatzos, until midpoint of the night. Mitzvasan, the truth is, Ringam Liel explains, he's going to spill the beans, Achi Ala Mura Shachar. You really have all the way until morning. The only issue is that once you get close to morning, you could easily go over the time limit, and let's say when it comes to eating kachim outside of the right time, that's called nosa, that's a very serious violation, that's a chi of kares, you could be liable excision for that. So, hekter chalav ve'evarim, mitzvasan achi ala mura shachar. So everybody points out, the rabbis never even said that when it comes to the limbs of the ola or the fats of other korbanos that were offered during the daytime, they never said that you could only offer the fats and the limbs until chatzos. There's no such statement like that, but again, this is coming to teach us an important principle. Anything which is a mitzvah at night, mitzvah so kol halayla, which you define until alusa shachar, v'chol ne'achalam liyomechad mitzvah sanachi ala mura shachar. That is something that the rabbis say. There's a machlokas about Korban Pesach. We quote the Stam Mishnah every morning in Ezehu Mekoma, and then when it comes to the Korban Pesach, it's only ad chatzos. So there is an argument that maybe Korban Pesach is a little bit different in this regard. But anyway, this Mishnah makes it clear that anytime it says chatzos, it really is alos hashachar. Yim kein lam amru chachamim ad chatzos, kedei laharchik adam min ha'avera. To keep a person far away from sinning. And this is one of the fundamental responsibilities of a rabbi, and rabbis in any generation, is to, as we say in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, asu siag la'Torah, to build a fence around the Torah. So we don't want people to actually literally come up right against the edge, right? Same thing that you're driving on the highway. They don't want you to get right over to the edge of the road. Person could fall off the cliff. So they install safety measures. So halacha works exactly the same way. The halacha builds in safety measures. And it's really remarkable. And it says a lot about Kriyat Shema that we compare it to Nosa, right? Nosa, again, that's a very serious violation. It's what we call an Isser Kari. So to say that Kriyat Shema should be treated exactly the same way, we're so concerned that a person is going to miss Kriyat Shema, tells you a whole lot about the importance of Kriyat Shema. That's what we call the mitzvah of Kabbalas Malchus Shemaim, of declaring the majesty of heaven, the sovereignty of heaven. What could be more important to do? There's a dispute between the Rambam and the Ramban. Is the twice daily mitzvah of Kriyat Shema two separate mitzvahs? That's the Ramban's point of view. For whatever reason you miss Kriyat Shema in the morning, you're obligated to do so at night, and vice versa. So the Ramban will say these are two independent mitzvahs. The Rambam says it's really one mitzvah. It's a sort of framework your day to create the bookends in terms of establishing the sovereignty of heaven. So he really relates to it as one mitzvah, which is less intuitive, but maybe even more ambitious position. So as a practical matter of halacha, if the Mishnah stated that the earliest time point that you could say Kriyat Shema is Tesach Kochavim, and again, Kriyat Shema, as we just explained, isn't just a mitzvah min haTorah, but it's a really foundational mitzvah about declaring God's sovereignty. So what is it that we're doing all the time? Right now, thank God, it is after Tesach Kochavim, for about 6 months a year, when we daven in chamar every Sunday, we're not waiting until Tesa Kochavim. There are different ways to measure Tesa Kochavim, maybe 42 minutes after sunset, maybe 72 minutes after sunset. That's part of a broader discussion, but how is that acceptable? So no less an authority than Rashi says it's not acceptable. And in fact, you know, when we daven Mincha Maariv, he thinks that everybody should go home and repeat Kriyat Shema. At the very least, rely on Kriyat Shema Lamita, saying Kriyat Shema right before you go to sleep. The practice is to say at least the first paragraph. So the Tosos gets very upset at Rashi, and they ask four very famous questions. They say, what do you mean? How can you just get away with saying one paragraph? If you, Rashi, really believe that you haven't fulfilled your mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema before it's Tesa Kochavim, before the stars come out, how is saying one paragraph sufficient in terms of saying three paragraphs, which is normal way of doing it? Question number one. Question number two is, whatever happened to the blessings associated with Kriyat Shema, the Birchos Kriyat Shema? I guess Rashi will tell you, yeah, it would be better if you did it with the Brachos, but that's not the worst question in the world. The three-paragraph question is the more serious question. And there's another machlokes between Rabbi Shua ben Levi and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, Tfilos be'emtza teknum, that all of the prayers are in between the Kriyat Shema of the day. So Kriyat Shema Shachris, Kriyat Shema Arvis, and then you have Shachris, Mincha Maariv in between. But we don't paskin like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Kriyat Shema should always be before Tfilah, Smichas Gula Tfilah, not just in the morning, but at night as well. So whatever happened to that. So that's a third question that the Baal Yetosos pose against Rashi. And the fourth question that they pose against Rashi is, the Gemara in Daf Dalet makes it very clear that the practice of Kriyat Shema Lamita is only because of the demons. So it doesn't sound like that's the normal way that you should fill your mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. So Rashi will tell you is that, yeah, that may be the reason they established it, but you could rely on it to fulfill your obligation. So be that as it may, the Baal Yetosos say, you know what, it's okay. That as long as you wait a certain amount of time after Shkia, that's why we try to have a Dvar Torah, amongst the other reasons, it's always good to learn Torah, between Mincha and Maariv, if you're able to delay a little bit after sunset, then you're okay, because there are other opinions in the Gemara that aren't recorded in the Mishnah, and the Baal Yetosos says that we can rely on those positions. And in fact, many of the Mepharshim discuss that this could be based on the position of Rabbi Yehuda about Tefillah. Rabbi Yehuda says the Zman of Tefillah Arvis actually starts after Plaga Mincha, after 10 3/4 halachic hours into the day. So again, that's not obvious that you would link tefillah. Tefillah, again, should depend on nighttime. Kriyat Shema depends on when people are going to sleep. So again, that's a very big chiddush to say that the halacha of tefillah is going to be dispositive for Kriyat Shema. But again, the Bar Tanura certainly does make that point in the context of how it is a person could say Kriyat Shema earlier than Tzeisa Kochavim. So again, many people are very scrupulous, and I highly recommend it, that if you're davening Maariv before nightfall, to make sure to repeat all three paragraphs of Shema, because all three paragraphs are a Doraisa, certainly according to the Rambam, according to many others as well, and not just to rely on Rashi's point of view here, that saying the first paragraph is going to be sufficient for these purposes. It's a very important practice to remind yourself that if you daven Maariv early, so anytime it's a Sunday, Mincha Maariv, or a Friday very often, when we daven, it depends exactly on the time of year, but certainly during the summer we're davening very early. It's good to remember to repeat Kriyat Shema, all three paragraphs, after Tzeisa Kochavim, again, at least to wait 42 minutes after sunset. Now, just because we have another minute, this time period in terms of Mishasha, Kohanim Nechnasim Lachol B'Trumasan, the Gemara makes a very important comment. We're talking about a situation where a Kohen became Tamei. Let's say a Kohen is a Zavar, a Mitzorah. So they can go to the mikvah, and they can start eating truma, which they can't eat, obviously, when they're tamei. They can start eating truma that night. But they're not going to be mechupar, they're not going to have atonement until the next day when they bring their karban. So this is a big chiddush in the Gemara. The Gemara says, we didn't realize that you could become tahor, that you could become pure for purposes of eating truma, for purposes of eating kachim, before you actually brought your karban to be mechaper, to atone. Because normally we think about it the other way. Like on Yom Kippur, we say, Ki b'yom hazeh yechaper aleichem l'tar eschem mikol chatoseichem. Normally the first level which comes is kapara. First you get atonement for whatever sin you did. And then you can talk about tahara, purification. So the idea that you could talk about purification before getting kapara was not intuitive at all to the Gemara. So it really boils down to, in the end, and what this will conclude, is that there are really two different kinds of tumma that we talk about. When we talk about tumma and tahara, it could just be in a ritual state. A person comes into contact with a sheretz, with something that's creepy or qawli. A person comes into contact with a carcass of an animal, a nevela, so they become tame. A person comes into contact with a person who passes away, so they become tame. This isn't a reflection on your spiritual character. This is just a halachic reality that there are certain things in this world that are mitame, that literally conduct tumah to a person. So that's not, again, a spiritual state, but it's just a halachic reality that a person is tameh. So that's what we're talking about here. In these situations, a person can become tahor. The kohen can become tahor if he became a zav or whatever it was, and he goes to the mikvah, and he has to bring his karban the next day. But there's also a tumah that comes from chet. That's what we're talking about on Yom Kippur. Kiva yom hazeh yechaper aleichem letayrashchem. And in that situation where impurity is the result of chet, where we talk about a person literally being metame themselves, defiling themselves in the world of sin. So in that situation, the first thing that you have to do is to achieve kapara. In that situation, you have to first atone, and then you can, you know, aspire to achieve tara. So that's exactly what the Gemara is trying to figure out here. Again, it wasn't at all obvious to the Gemara that a person who is what we call mechusar kippurim, they still have to bring their karban the next day, let's say a zav or a mitzora, could become tahor for purposes, if they're a kohen, of eating truma, or for purposes of eating kachim, again, if they're a kohen, the rechatas and asham, or for shlamim, for a regular member of Klal Yisrael. So again, it depends on what type of tumah it is that we're referring to. So God willing, again, the plan is going to be to learn brachos, try to cover exactly one mishnah per night.